With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. We're continuing with our study this week of Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we have one of those statements that makes us all pause and think about just what God is doing and about our understanding of what He is doing in light of discipline. He says in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Now, that's not something that ever feels pleasant when we go through it. As a matter of fact, that's what he says at the beginning of verse 11. "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so this week we looked at how the author of Hebrews sets before us the motivation of what Jesus went through to drive us to press on in the Christian life, to not let the entanglements of sin ensnare us. As a matter of fact, he says that in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." Now, there's the key phrase that really launches into the whole teaching on discipline, that the fact is that sin often easily ensnares us. Now, this is something that really motivates us to listen to why the Lord disciplines and why we shouldn't despise the discipline of the Lord. As we face the grueling pain of this race, as we are growing in our holiness in life, we have promised to enlist in a warfare against our own sin. And we said this yesterday. But often, we don't really want to run against the race of life or against our sin. We want to be left alone, following our own wills, being our own little gods, doing our own things, tending to our own little enjoyments. And sometimes, makes me wonder, what are people even doing? Are they even running the race with endurance? And I said yesterday, this is where I was going with this main point. What makes the Christian life such a challenge and difficult is that at just the point we start to become self-dependent and we begin to trust in ourselves, and just at the point that we begin to recline in the easy chair of our sin, God takes that sin that has made us complacent, that has made us compromise, that has made us not take His command seriously, and He exposes it. He causes us to face it head on and to deal with it and to again continue in our lanes. Remember, that's the analogy he gives at the beginning, that we are in this race, run this race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the sufferings that we face, the trials that we are exposed to, the things that often really shake up life, and all of us go through it to some degree, some right now prior hearing this and going through it to way more of a degree than others. The things that really shake up life are a direct result, if you are Christian, and I premise it with that, if you are Christian, the things that often really shake up life are a direct result of God's loving and disciplining care in our lives as He deals with us as with sons. Now, that's something we choose to just forget. And in verse 5, that's the reminder. We read that here a little bit ago. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons." Then he quotes Proverbs 3:11-12. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges." Now hear that. "And scourges every son whom he receives." Now, we read in the Proverbs, who is he who hates his son is he who spares the rod. So to spare the rod is to hate your son. If you don't ever discipline your children, the Bible says, Then what does that mean? It means that you are actually hating your children. Well, the principle of that, it really leads right into the Lord's care for His people. The reason He comes and chastens and scourges His sons is because He loves. To not do that would mean, as He says later in the chapter, that we are illegitimate and not sons. So, notice what He says. You have forgotten. You've forgotten that the very discipline of God is the very thing that shows that you are a son. Now, this is very strong but gentle rebuke, presupposing that we just forget completely the biblical reasons for discipline in our lives. Think about this. When should our lives be in the most turmoil, my friends? When we sin, right? I mean, let me outline two common occurrences. Let's say a Christian commits a terrible sin. What does he do? He confesses it, and then he repents, meaning he goes to radical lengths to cut off the situation and the environment and the appearances of evil that facilitated and fed that sin. I mean, that's what Jesus said. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, for it's better that one of your members be cast into hell than your whole body. I mean, this is just serious. He was very serious about sin, even though we don't want to be. But going to great degrees to cut off sin shows repentance. And so God says, if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We looked at that in 1 John last week. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this person confesses. He repents. It's dealt with, my friends. No sin is too great for God to be unable to forgive. Dealt with. We are forgiven. It's just a wonderful gospel, isn't it? I mean, it would be great if everyone lived that way, however, and patterned that life of repentance. But now, and I want you to think about this, I've outlined what should be done. Sin, repentance, turning from it, confession, and washing. But now let me outline the very common scenario. Someone sins. There should be sorrow, but there's not. It goes unrepentant. A precedent is now set. The sin continues and the heart gets harder and harder. When there should be pain and sorrow over it, there isn't. And so a period of indulgence occurs. It happened with Adam and Eve. It happened with David and Bathsheba. It happened with Jonah, who could disobey the will of God that should have caused him grief, but it didn't. And he goes and takes a nap in the bottom of the boat. So what happens? Well, then people come to support. Then people justify the sin for them. Anyone who confronts them is called unloving. But surely God is going to come, right? If it's a son. God then comes, and He puts that person through a great chastening, disciplining period to correct the problem that they refuse to want to deal with. And then the painful trial begins. God will often bring it right out into the open. God will often expose it before all, even before the church. And that is painful because we love to hide our lives. It is often very painful. In fact, He says that in verse 11. Now, no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. So do you hear the message, my friends? We need to remember this. The very hardships and messes that we often face in this life are a direct result of our covering, our hiding ourselves, like Adam and Eve did, and God's fatherly love towards us in exposing. So that all the more we would be moved from ourselves to lean upon Jesus and to correct sinful patterns in us. And that sort of direct involvement to chasten and discipline us and draw out an exposure of our lives establishes us as what? Sons, it says. It establishes God's love for us. It shows His care for us, His workings in our life. Now listen to verse 7 after you hear all that. Listen to what verse 7 of chapter 12 says. If you endure chastening. Isn't that something to pause over? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? I'm totally convinced that we misunderstand the reason for discipline today. The very thing God is saying here is this. His action of turning lives upside down and exposing people's sin, causing them to deal with it, is the very act that shows that God loves them. Sometimes it's the best thing someone needs. I remember as a teacher, I was a teacher at one time, and students would often do very bad things. But interestingly, the ones that were the worst, and I guess the parents need to hear this the most, the ones that were the worst were the ones whose parents were always in there saying, "Oh, Johnny's innocent. You're not showing love to Johnny. You're being hypocritical. You're judging Johnny." And they never wanted anything done by way of discipline, lest they push little Johnny too hard. I wanted to say to them, do you know what you're doing to your child? The best thing that you can do for him is to let him suffer the consequences of his wrong choices and stop defending him. Then at least he'll learn from it. But you are constantly giving him an escape, the most damaging thing for his soul, so that he remains in his sin and slowly becomes hardened to it, and you're setting a precedence and a pattern for the future. Sometimes, my friends, the very fall of someone's life is just what's needed as a Christian, because through it, God will then bring them up. You see, the very thing that shows one to be a legitimate son is his very endurance of the chastening. If you endure, we read, God is dealing with you as sons. The question then becomes, how are you handling discipline? How are you handling the discipline of the Lord? Let me ask this as we think of in closing today. What is the typical response to the Lord's discipline or anyone's discipline? Escape. It's in all of us. As a child, I remember getting caught doing something wrong, and the teacher those days would spank actually at school years ago, but they would spank at school at that time, and I came home and I knew I was going to get spanked again, so I went and hid myself in the bushes for 2 hours, still a child of Adam. Then I really got it. I went and hid. We're always hiding ourselves, our lives from God's chastening. We just don't want people to know our failures. And that's a hard thing. That is a very hard thing. We want people to know our successes. We want people to think we really have it together. And yet, oftentimes, we fear people being in our business. We don't want people to know our problems. We don't want people to know our struggles. We don't want our lives open before all. No way. We cover best, ironically, where? At church. The very place that exposure should take place. So I leave you with this today, my friends. Instead of rejoicing that God has disciplined us, oftentimes we run. Shouldn't we rethink when God is disciplining us or disciplining a loved one? Should we really be defending patterns of sin, or should we say, if the Lord has done this, who am I to fight against it? May we rejoice that He loves His children so much as to discipline. And may those who do not believe in Jesus learn this today. You need to come under the care and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in Him, and then you will begin to live a life that is proceeding in holiness. Will it not be easy? Not always. But at the end of the day, you will be able to see and confess the Lord has treated you as a son. The Christian life really is a joyful life, because amidst all the trials, we know that we do not have a home of this world, but our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a home in heaven. If you'd like to know more about this Jesus, visit us, www.lindenurc.com, or join us for worship this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.